Good morning, church. Hope you're all doing well. Today, we're going to look at Book of Psalms, Psalm 23. A psalm that talks about caring shepherd and content sheep. But before you go there, I want you to know, I moved to a new flat. Some of you already know. I was living in a flat which is 245 square feet. Now I moved to 500 square feet flat. Before I moved, I thought I'll be happy moving to this spacious 500 square feet flat. However, when I first entered, I was not happy. I was not satisfied. I had reasons to complain and I was complaining. Now, thankfully, I have friends who reminded me to be happy with what I have and to be content. Like how Charles Spurgeon said, it's not how much we have, but how much we enjoy what we already have makes happiness. But sinful flesh always longs for more. If you ask, how much do you want to be happy? It would answer, just a little more than what we already have. But it will never be content. Just a little more. But where can we find contentment? Psalm 23 helps us. So with that said, we'll go to scripture today. It's Psalm 23. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me and read along. I'm reading from ESV version. It reads, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God bless this reading in our midst. As we have seen here, it's David who wrote this psalm. And what is David trying to communicate from this psalm? As we see, he starts the psalm saying, the Lord is. So what is this psalm all about? The Lord is. It's about the Lord. So what about the Lord? He says, the Lord is my shepherd. So David is communicating the relationship that David has with the Lord as a shepherd. So the Lord is my shepherd. He says, he's talking about the relationship that he has with the Lord. And what happened? He says, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I lack nothing. I have everything. I shall not want. I have what I need. Lord is my shepherd. So David is saying, because my shepherd cares for me, I shall not want. I am not in need. Now, from the whole context of the Bible, we know who this shepherd is. In John chapter 10, Jesus Christ said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. It is Jesus Christ who laid his life on the cross, shed his blood, and bought his sheep with his precious blood. David, standing the other side of the cross, says, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He cares for me and I am content in his care. And all the rest of the psalm, David explains how he is experiencing contentment in the care of the shepherd. And this psalm is a soothing psalm. This psalm is a soothing psalm to a weary soul. One of the commentators said, this psalm dried up many tears. It was read to dying soldiers during the World War so that they can die in peace. American President George W. Bush, he read this psalm after 9/11 to comfort the nation. However, if you look at verse 1, the key to not want is, as David says, the Lord is my shepherd, so I shall not want. So the key to not want is to have Lord as our shepherd. The question is, are you his sheep? Not everyone are his sheep. Jesus Christ, in the same chapter, John chapter 10, he clearly mentioned, when people came and questioned him, "If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus replied, "I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep, of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish." John chapter 10 verses 25 to 28. Jesus Christ clearly said, "You are not my sheep because you don't believe." So how can we become his sheep? How can you become his sheep? As we see here clearly, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be his sheep. If you repent for your sins, put your trust in Jesus Christ, his work on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, you will be his sheep. And you can also sing along with David and say, "The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want." You will experience care of Christ and you will experience contentment. Caring Christ gives contentment. That's what David is communicating through this psalm. And from this psalm today, we'll see two ways how caring Christ gives contentment. And the first way is found in verses 1 to 4, that is the sufficient provider. The caring Christ is the sufficient provider. As we have seen, verse 1, David says, "I shall not want." And if we make this sentence statement as positive, David is saying, "I have what I need. Lord is my shepherd. Jesus is my shepherd. I have what I need." So David is saying, Jesus is enough. Jesus is sufficient. I lack no good thing. Psalm 34:10 says, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing." He is the sufficient provider, and his sheep will lack no good thing. In verse 2, as a sufficient provider, he provides them rest through his perfect provision. In verse 2, he says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." A sheep is resting in green pastures. Philip Keller, the shepherd who wrote a commentary on Psalm 23, he said, "Sheep will not lie down until it is fed enough." And again, as we see here, green pastures, we think green pastures as a green fields filled with grass and the sheep are sitting and chewing on those green grass. However, if you look into the geographical context of David, that's not what we found. If you look throughout Israel, all that you can find is mostly wilderness, rocky, brown, rocky mountains and hills and valleys. However, those brown, rocky mountains, under those rocks, because of the humid, green grass sprouts, it seems. And on that the sheep are fed. So all day long, shepherd leads them to walk around those rocky mountains until the sheep are fed. And once they are fed, sheep lay down in peace. Not because they have enough for tomorrow, but because they are fed for that day. And they trust their shepherd that he will lead them tomorrow in green pastures again. So the sheep lie down, not because they have enough for tomorrow, not because they have enough for that particular month, not because they have enough for the particular year, but they are fed enough for that particular day. We worry because we look into our today's resources to face our tomorrow's problems. Matthew chapter 6 verse 34 says, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble for its own. And Lamentations 3:22 and 23 says, "The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." His loving kindness and compassions are new every morning. Why they have to be new every morning? Because every new morning we have new troubles to face. And God will provide for every new morning troubles, every new loving kindness and compassions. All that we have to focus is for today. God doesn't want us to be couch potatoes. Here, David is not saying that God is making me a couch potato. I have full grass, I don't have to go anywhere. I can sit and just chew on this grass. He provides what we require for today. It could be spiritually, it could be physically, financially. He will take care of our today's problem and tomorrow's problem too. But don't worry, he will provide what we require for tomorrow and tomorrow. "And he leads me beside still waters." Philip Keller says, "The sheep fear running water, it seems." As David rightly says, it's the shepherd who leads them towards the still waters. However, there are sometimes stubborn sheep who will not wait for the shepherd, wait for pure and clean water. But they stop to drink from, they stoop to drink from polluted potholes along the trail, contaminated with manure and urine of previous flocks. It satisfies their thirst for the moment, but it would eventually riddle them with parasites and disease. It's the price they pay for instant gratification and not following the shepherd to clear water. And sometimes that's how Christians are also. Rather than following the leading of our shepherd, walking in his ways, we try to satisfy our thirst with something else from this world. Jeremiah puts it, he says in Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 13, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." If we turn from God and turn to some other sources to satisfy our thirst, we are doing the same, and we will bear the consequences. But if we follow his leading, we will enjoy the still waters and the true contentment comes if we walk according to his leading. He is a sufficient provider. He provides rest through perfect provision. And the next verse 3, we see, "He restores my soul." He, the restoration of the wandering soul. As the sufficient provider, he provides the restoration as well if we wander away. And sheep often go astray. Sheep are not smart. And when sheep go astray, shepherd goes after the sheep and restores them. This word restores means to bring back to original position. If the sheep goes astray, it is the shepherd who goes after the sheep and brings it back to the flock. And Luke chapter 15 Jesus Christ gave this illustration. He said, what man among you, if he had 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And verse 5 he says, when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, and his shoulders rejoicing, he will bring it back to the flock. Now, if you are this sheep who is wandering away from the flock, wandering away from the shepherd, this is a good news for you, because the shepherd cares for you. He is going to come after you and bring you back to the flock. He might bring you back to the flock by confronting you about your sin and granting you repentance, or else maybe sending you a trial so that you might turn to him. In some other way, it is the shepherd who is going to come after you and restore you. What a great verse to find. He cares for you. He restores. And not only that, we see here in verse 3, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. He is the one who guides in holiness. So we get the guidance in this confusing world. This world is a confusing world. Google is not just enough. We need his guidance. And he guides us through his word to walk in holiness. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and the light of my path. He is going to guide us through his word, so that we might walk in holiness. But the encouraging thing is here, he says, for his name's sake, he is going to lead us in holiness. That's one of the greatest statement. He says, for his name's sake. As you know, God does everything for his glory. Everything for the glory of his name. And he restores us. He leads us in holiness for his name's sake. It is a matter of God's holiness. So he takes it seriously. He is a zealous God. He is zealous for his name. If you remember, Israel, when profaned God's name among the nation, Ezekiel chapter 36, 23, he says, I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which you have profaned among the nations. How? In verse 25, he says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you the heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my ways and statutes and be careful to obey my rules. He will cause us to walk in his statutes. What a great way. If we go astray, he will not leave us, because he is zealous for his name, and because we belong to him, we are his sheep, he will not abandon us. No matter what happens, he will come after us. He will cause us to walk in his ways. Praise God, he will not abandon us, because it is a matter of his holiness. He will not abandon us. If there is something in us that made us his sheep, then if we lose what we have to attract God, he might leave us. But it is not because of something, not because something that we have in us. It's because of his name that we are called as his sheep, and because it is a matter of his holiness, he will not abandon us. He will make us walk in his ways. So he restores us, he guides us for his name's sake. And not only that, as we see in verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What we see here is the security, safety that David is experiencing in the presence of God during the dark times. So his sheep will receive safety with his presence during dark times. One commentator said, the good shepherd does not provide contentment by keeping his flock from trials, but rather providing his presence in the midst of trials. Philip Keller said, the valley is usually the most gentle route to the higher summer feeding grounds. Also, the valleys have the best source of water and thus provide the best feeding spots on the way for the higher ground, but there are dangers involved. And this word shadow of death, it could be translated as deepest darkness. So it's not necessarily shadow of death, but it's deepest darkness. So it could be life-threatening situations. And it is the shepherd who leads the sheep in this way, in the life-threatening situation. It is the shepherd who leads. The shepherd who led them in beside the still waters and green pastures is leading them in the valley of the shadows of death. God gives us valleys of trials and dangers so that we might develop our character. As Christians, we all pray, even I prayed, that Lord, help me to become more like Christ, mature like Christ. But I don't expect suffering when I pray that. However, it is God's way. That's how God matures us, by sending us trials and sufferings. James chapter 1 verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Why? Because that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So that we might become mature, God sends us trials and sufferings. And that's how in Christian life we will develop our character. We will transform more like Christ by walking into this deepest darkness, valleys. But again, encouraging thing here is, even in the times of the sufferings and trials, deepest darkness, valleys, as we see, as David rightly says, I will fear no evil. I will not fear. Why? Because you are with me. Two things giving contentment to David. He says, your presence, you are with me. Number two, your rod and your staff. Your presence, that's what is encouraging me, David says. And that's what saints said. Remember Paul in 2 Timothy, he said, 4 verse 16, at my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. When Paul was facing this valley of deepest darkness situation, it is Lord who stood by him. As David said, Paul is also saying the same thing. And he says, it's not his presence, but your rod and your staff. The rod is used to defend the sheep from the wild animals, and staff to control them. So his the way the shepherd is taking care, is giving confidence for his sheep. He controls his sheep. So, from verses 1 to 4, we have seen how Jesus Christ, as a sufficient provider, he provides rest, he provides guidance, he provides safety. Now, in verses 5 to 6, we see him as the serving host. There is a shift here. In verses 1 to 4, we see shepherd and sheep metaphor. In verses 5 to 6, we see host and a guest. Verse 5, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. So this is a picture of host honoring his guest. In verses 5 to 6, we see Jesus Christ becomes a serving host, the serving host. Now, in Stephen Cole, he said in the Bedouin Law of Hospitality, once a traveler is received into shepherd's tent, and especially once his host has spread food before him, he is guaranteed immunity from enemies who may be attempting to overtake him. No greater security or comfort could be obtained by a traveler in the ancient Near East than to be offered the hospitality of a home. It was understood that this was a provision of shelter and food, but even more, it was guarantee of protection from harm. So, as a host, Jesus Christ, as he honors his guest, is not only just providing them shelter and food, but also providing protection against the enemies, it seems. As we see here, in the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. So, Jesus is declaring to his to our enemies, saying that you dare not touch this person. He is my guest. If you remember, Lot in Genesis chapter 19, when he was attending the two men, and when all the wicked men of Sodom and Gomorrah came to have relationship with those men, Lot went out to them at the doorway and shut the door behind him and said to them, "Please, my brothers, do not act wickedly. Now behold, I have two daughters who have not had relationship with man. Please let me bring them out to you and do to them whatever you like. Only do nothing to these men, inasmuch as they come under my shelter, my roof." So, in this ancient Middle East culture, if someone as a host provides shelter, they take responsibility of protecting them. And we can see that in Lot's life. Whether we will not be able to understand how, as a father, he is giving his daughters, but we can see his hunger, his how he is striving to protect these two men, because they are under my shelter. He is obligated to provide protection for them. But Lot was weak, so he's not able to provide protection. But we can see here, Jesus is the one who is hosting us. And as a host, he is honoring us by anointing us with oil. So he's making a statement to our enemy, saying, don't dare to touch, he is my guest, and I'm going to protect him. And not only that, he's exalting us, honoring us by anointing our head with oil. And in those culture, anointing oil is a resemblance of a festive mood, it seems. If you remember Matthew chapter 6, Jesus Christ, when he talked about praying, fasting, he said, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Because Jesus Christ was teaching that we should not fast so that everybody knows. We should fast in secret. He says, anoint your head, wash your face, so that people will not know that you are fasting. People should think that you are celebrating. So, anointing head, it talks about celebration, festive mood. And this host is celebrating. Jesus is celebrating the presence of David in his tent by anointing his head with oil. And we can see this in ministry of Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 7 verse 44. Turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water to my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment." So now we see here the picture, how once a guest enters someone's place, host anoints their head. That's the culture. That's the way they celebrate the presence of the guest. Jesus, as a host, is celebrating the presence of David. And if you are his sheep, if you are his people, he will also celebrate our presence in his home. If you remember Luke chapter 15, when the prodigal son returned, it says in verse 24, the father says, "My son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." They began to celebrate. So if when the son returned to the home, father celebrated. The same way, when we return to Jesus Christ's tent, he celebrates. That's what we are seeing here. As a host, he is celebrating, anointing oil. And we can also see, he says, my cup overflows. So Jesus is, as a host, serving abundant food. He's not giving leftovers to David. He's feeding abundantly. This is a celebration. The celebration is so wild that the cup is overflowing. If you see, even in Luke chapter 15, when the elder son was returning from the field, he could hear music and dance, which means party is going wild. Celebration is going wild. So that's how Jesus as a host celebrates our presence when we enter his tent. And today, if you turn to Jesus, he will also celebrate your presence in the same way. The heaven will celebrate sinner if a sinner returns. And not only as a host he is honoring, exalting and celebrating, we can also see in verse 6, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all days of my life. And this word, this follow me, literally means haunting, like how it's an aggressive word. It's how a hunter tracks the prey, the same way God haunts after his people to bless them. It's how a mother runs after their child to feed them. The same way God runs after us, chases us to bless us. And as David says, surely only goodness and loving kindness will pursue me. As Paul also said, all things work together for good for those who love God. Surely only goodness and loving kindness will follow me. A loving kindness, which is a chesed, God's covenant love for his people, will follow me, David says, on me. And he says, I will return to the house of the Lord. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And David is talking about the tabernacle, probably. So he's saying, I want to spend all my time worshipping God. And worshipping God is the center of godly living. And Hebrews 10, the author of Hebrews also says that, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day is drawing near. We should gather more often and corporately worship God. As David is also saying that he has this desire to worship God corporately in the house of the Lord, probably tabernacle along with the saints. This will be the heart of every saint who enjoys the care of Christ as a sufficient provider and also serving host. They will long to worship God publicly, not in secret, but publicly. We will grow in hunger to worship God publicly. Now, question is, how are you? Are you a sheep which is content? Are you fed on God's pastures? Are you walking daily in conscious joy of all spiritual blessings that you have in Christ? Or are you with a grumbling spirit, complaining? As we have seen, Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 13, my people have committed two sins, two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. If you are complaining and grumbling, that would be because you are not focusing on Christ. You are not fed on green pastures that the shepherd is leading. Probably you may be consuming the world contaminated water and probably panting and being dissatisfied. Today is the day that you turn to the source of the living waters, Christ Himself, who will satisfy your thirst. We'll close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word through which you encouraged us that there is contentment. We can find contentment. We can be satisfied in Christ Jesus because He is the sufficient provider. And He is the one who hosts us, who protects us. And surely only goodness and loving kindness will follow for all those who believe in you. And I pray for the church, Lord, that we all will believe in you and walk in your ways. I pray that the ones here who never believed in you, that they will put their trust in you and experience the care of Christ and be content. I pray for the Christians who gone astray, seeking the worldly pleasures, fleshly desires. I pray that you will restore them, restore their souls, bring them back to the flock. I pray that we will all be satisfied in Christ. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.